Now by Barry Katz.
Good morning, everybody. I'd like to begin with two hakdamas. Number one, that wasn't one of them. Number one, I think Family Zaltzman are making a chasna today. Is that correct?
Yes.
And Family Zaltzman, Mishpacha Zaltzman, are making chasna today. And Mrs. Zaltzman was the one who asked me to speak this morning. So I think it's correct to record our mazel tov wishes to him and his family. And the shdoni makes simchas in the mishpacha ad me vesim shana. Secondly, I'd like to thank CST for their amazing crowd control in holding the crowds back. perhaps someone should let... Perhaps someone should let them know there's still a few spare places here. But thank you for all those who have stayed. It's very kind of you. I'd like to begin with the Milsa B'dichusa. recently I had a cold, and the cold affected my eyes. I had a little bit of an eye infection, and it made me realize that I am a teacher by trade, and teachers are very vulnerable to eye infections because they suffer from irritating pupils. And it was on that theme of irritating pupils that I had time to think about what I want to speak about this morning. The truth is, it's very choshuv, it's very special to be able to teach young people, and I'm very makitoiv. I think it's correct to record to Rabbi Goldblatt, Zolazayn Gesund, who invited me to join Jewish High. And this follows a number of years in Hasmonean Boys' School. And so I'm very makitoiv to him and at the end of the day to the Ribbono Shel Olam for the opportunity to be a teacher. It's very special to be able to teach young people. The Gemara in Tan is Zayin Lamed Aleph says, Omer Reb Nachman by Yitzchok, Lomon Nimshalu Divrei Torah Ke'etz. Why is Torah compared to eitz? Shenema eitz chaim hi lamachazikim bo. Because the Torah is an eitz chaim. So why is the Torah compared to eitz? Loi maloch, to teach you. Ma eitz koton madlik es hagodol. Just like a little match can light a huge fire. Af tamidei chachomim ketanim. Young tamidei chachomim. Mechadadim es hagedolim. They sharpen the gedolim. V'hainu de'omar Reb Chanina, harbe lomadati miraboisai, I learnt a lot from my rebbes. Mechaveira yoisa miraboisai, I learnt more from my chaveirim than my rebbes. U'mitalmida yoisa makulam, but I learnt most from my talmidim. And Rashi says, why do you learn a lot from your talmidim? Says Rashi, alakatanim mechadadin, because the youngsters sharpen you. Sheshoyalin kol shor. They don't stop asking you. They're always asking why and what, and can you repeat that? I didn't understand it. And it, by having to go over and over and over it again, it sharpens you. So I learned more from my Talmidim. And after, even though I've been taught by my Rabbeim and I've been learnt with my Chaverim, I learnt more from my Talmidim. And we mustn't forget that your Rebbe, when you were that Talmid, your Rebbe was learning off you, because the Talmid Ayos Mikulam applied to your Rebbe when he was teaching you. So it's like a circle, it's like an ongoing cycle. But in the spectrum of learning of Rebbes and Chaverim and Talmidim, you learn more from your Talmidim. So I was just thinking, when I was preparing these few words, I was looking back, who have been my Rebbeim. So in Leeds, we had Rabbi Safa, Rabbi Mankov will remember Mr. Safa. When I first went to Gateshead, my first Magichir was Rabbi Baruch Dunner. Lundesheim Gesund, then Reb Moshe Schwab, Zichron Nivrocha, Reb Matis Yohu, Solomon, Shlita, should be well, and then Reb Avram Gurvitz, Shlita, Reb Zev Cohen, Zichron Nivrocha, Reb Leib Gurvitz, Zichron Nivrocha, Reb Leib Lopian. And I was thinking, how do my Talmidim compare to all that? How do my Chaverim beat all such a stellar group of Talmidei, outstanding Talmidei Chachomim who I was zoicha to learn from? And why is Talmidim Yosem Mikulam? And the Teretz is, as Rashi says, Shoyelin Kol Shor. They don't leave you alone. And when you stand before 20 and 30 inquiring minds, you get questions from all sides, some you thought of and many you did not think of. So the truth is, the skills you learn from your Rebbeim, the regilus you learn from your Chaverim, but the polish, the sharpening, Shasholin Kol Shor, you learn from your Talmidim. And the purpose of these few words is that we should always try to be those Talmidim. We should always not move away from that. And even though we're a little bit older now, we should still have the attitude of being a Talmid. And so when you're a teacher, I'm going to give you a tip as for those of you who aspire to be teachers, because no doubt after these few words you're all going to apply to the local moishes to be teachers. So I'm going to give you a tip, and even if you don't go into teaching, this is good parenting or grandparenting tip as follows. When you raise a question in the Sedra or in anything like that, never give the answer straight away. If you give a moshel, never give the nimshel. Allow the... Because how do you know that the Talmidim are actually paying attention to you? In the law, in the halachas of buying and selling, in the halachas of kinyan, you've got a makneh and you've got a koina. You've got a chalipin, you've got kesef, you've got hagbor, you've got various kinyonim which show that the object is transferred from you to the from the seller to the buyer. In chinuch, in shiurim, in giving a devar Torah, how do I know that the people who are listening to me are actually buying or acquiring what I'm giving? So the answer is that you leave a gap, and in that gap you allow people to contribute to what you're saying, and that way you know that we're all on the same page. So for example, some of the most beautiful Divrei Torah I've heard from my Talmidim, and I'm going to share two with you. Number one is, when I was teaching in Hasmonean many years ago, I was teaching a year 8, which is a second form in the old language, and it was a lower ability group. And I raised the question, the Sedra was Vayetse, where Yaakov goes away, and he lays down to sleep, he gets caught out at night, and he lays down to sleep, and he puts stones around his head, and he lays down. Rashi says, why does he put stones around his head? To save him from chayos rois, to save him from wild animals. So I asked the boys, if you would go to London Zoo, and you would go in, and you would go to the reptile house with the most dangerous snakes and scorpions and spiders and all the etc., and you'd walk into the room, and there were 12 stones, they were on one side, and you were on the other, and there was 12 stones. What would you do? You'd run a mile. The only way you feel safe is because there's a glass partition that thick, and wall to wall, ceiling to wall, floor to ceiling. So you feel safe, but if there's 12 stones, how would that make you feel safe? So how did Yaakov Avinu lay down to sleep with 12 stones round his head? How would that protect him from the wild animals and etc., that would come and they would see 12 stones round him and run away and say, we can't attack him? So what's the answer? What would you say? What would anybody here say? What word would you use? Hishtadlus. Oh, see, it shows you that it's working. Hishtadlus. I was going to give a whole devata on Hishtadlus. You do the best you can with what you have. So this boy put his hand up. And he said, please, sir, I think I know the answer. And I thought, this boy is, I can't say his name now, with this Hakdoma, he was a bit educationally challenged, and I thought, what genius answer is this boy going to come up with? And this is what he said. He said, could it be that Yaakov Avinu knew he only had 12 stones, so he could only protect one part of his body. So he examined himself. So with his guf, with his hands, with his legs, he'd never touched anything which didn't belong to him. He'd never been anywhere he shouldn't. He'd never eaten anything he shouldn't. He'd never done anything wrong. So he knew his body was pure. He was knocky. But perhaps in his mind, perhaps when he made a brocha, he didn't have full kavanah. And therefore, if any part of his body was vulnerable, it was in his thought process. Perhaps he hadn't had sufficient kavanah when he made a brocha. So therefore, if any part of his body was vulnerable, it was going to be his head. And therefore, he put stones around his head. I really think that if wherever I've said this to our Torah, people, and I've not given this introduction, they say, where did you see that? Is it Chizkuni? Is it Ramban? No, it's my Talmud in year 8 in a few years ago. It's an amazing answer, and it shows, you learn from your Talmudim. I'll share, and it made me think, and it started a whole Dvar Torah, that, because I said that the word Choshuv, which means important, is related to the word choshav, which means to think. Because the most important thing in life is to be able to think. Rav Moshe Sternbuch says that every mitzvah we do is machzis hashekel. He speaks about machzis hashekel, and he says the truth is every mitzvah we do is machzis hashekel. The doing is only ever half. The kavanah is the other half. The maisa with the machshava makes the whole mitzvah. And therefore choshuv and choshav, it's important to think. And I said, this is the most important part of your body. Another boy in the class said, please, sir, is that why this is called your temple? This is called a temple. So therefore, this is the Beis HaMikdash of the person. These are young boys, and this is a mitam midai yosem mikulam. So I'd like, may I share another one with you? Yeah. It's better than my stuff, I can tell you. And so we were talking about the Oronat Seishitim, we were talking about the Oronat Kodesh in the Vayikra Sedras, and so I said, and I showed them a diagram of the Oronat Kodesh. Wherever you look, it's gold. Top and bottom, inside, outside, it's all gold. So I said, why does the Torah call it Oronat Seishitim, the Oron made of wood, when it was all gold, and it calls it by what you can't see rather than by what you can. So again, what would you answer? What's the standard answer? Toicha kebaroi. It's working. You're all on the same page. The toicha kebaroi is the Abisha looks at the inside, and so a boy said, please, I think I know the answer. So I said, yes, what would you like to say? He said, could it be that without the wooden insert, without the box, the wood box, which was if it was just pure gold, you'd lift up the Aron HaKodesh, it would fold in half, it would collapse. It's thin sheets of pure gold, is very, very malleable, I think the word is. It would simply fold in. And therefore it's the wood which allows the gold to do its job. If not for the wood, the gold would lose its shape. And could it be, another boy said, could it be that describes a shul or yeshiva or anything? So you've got your rabbonim, they are the gold. They are the gold that glistens. But you need the wood inside, you need the shamus, you need the gaboim, you need the caretaker, you need the people to do the inside job in order to give a framework for the gold to be able to glisten. You have a show, you have the soloist, you have the guest speaker. So it's always the people behind the scenes. For example, not that I'm gold and not that I'm not saying anything, but I'm standing here in front of microphones and everything, which have been set up. And it's the people who do these things which allow the guest speaker to come along and hopefully shine. So therefore, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the Oronat Seishitim. He looks at the people behind the scenes. He looks at the people who enable the frontline people to do their job, and they're just as choshev, if not more. Because if not for the wood behind the scenes, the gold could not glisten and litter, thank you. Understand? And therefore, that's why it's called all right, to give chashivas to the people who are behind the scenes. And I think that's an amazing, it's an amazing Devar Torah. So therefore, the idea is that we've got much to learn from young people, because their inquiring, their eagerness, their freshness, their wonderment about the Torah should be infectious. And we can apply this to ourselves, and we too should become those young people, or better still, remain those young people. The perek in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalad, in mine it was Mishnah Kaf Dalad, Elisha ben Avoya Oimer, Haloimed Yeled. If a person learns when he's young, Lamahu Doimer, what's he compared to? Ledioik Suva al Nyo Chodosh, to ink which is written on fresh paper. Valoimed Zokain, and if a person learns when he's old, Lamahu Doimer, what's he compared to? Ledioik Suva al Nyo Mochoik, a Mochuk, it's on ink written on smudgy paper. So, Rabbi Avram Tversky, in his inimitable style, he says, it doesn't say, the Lashon of the Mishnah is Meduik, Haloimed Yeled, if a person learns young, not necessarily when he's young, but if he learns with a young attitude, what is he compared to? Then it's ink on fresh paper. You have a fresh attitude to your learning. Valoimed Zokain, if a person learns with an old attitude, it could be, then it's compared to writing on smudgy paper. So in other words, Haloimed Yeled could refer to an old person in years, but he's got a young attitude. Valoimed Zokain could refer to a young person, but he's got an old attitude. He's not interested. I've heard this before. He has got the right attitude. So therefore, a person can have a youthful spirit as a senior citizen, and you can be worn out when you're in younger years. And he tells an interesting story. He says there was once a tish, and there was one space near the Rebbe, and everybody was rushing for this place, and a very, very elderly gentleman comes whizzing through, jumps over the benches, and manages to get into the seat. And everybody's wondering how this elderly gentleman was able to do such an acrobatic act. And he said to the people around him, they think I'm 93 years old. Actually, I'm three young men of 31. And so, in other words, it's an attitude of mind. And Zokain, interesting, the Lashon Zokain is Zeh Shekona Chochma. Zokain, Zeh Kona. It's nothing to do with age, it's to do with your attitude of mind. It's nothing to do with your date of birth. And I heard from my uncle, Mr. C. Zipper, Zoller Zayin Gesund, and those people who know Mr. Zipper will know that he embodies this, if it's roi to him that he says such a thing. He told me of a Rebbe who told his Hasidim, I don't allow you to become old. If you want to become my Hasid, you're not going to become old. So the Hasidim were wondering, what's the segula, what's the elixir of life here, the eternal youth? And the Rebbe said, the old people always tend to look back. Yeah, you hear people say, I remember the Amalek at Zeitan, I remember, if you think that Amalika, I always think that Amalika relates to Amalek, it's very dangerous. It's not a good attitude, because you get stuck in the past. Young people look forward. The next daf, the next Mishnah, the next Pasuk, the next Devar Torah, and it's always to look forward. It reminds me of a Devar Torah I once recently heard. Somebody told me for B'Shem Rav Simcha Wasserman, Zeche Tzad Livrocha. When Noach came out of the Teva, the first thing he says, Vayochel Noach Ish Adoma. He became a man of Chulin, he lost his Madrega, because what did he plant? He planted grapes, he planted a vine. What should he have planted? Should he have planted bread? Should have planted... So what was the kasha? It's like, not to chas v'shalom trivialize, but the story of the shviga who bought her son-in-law two ties. So the son-in-law put on one tie, and the shviga said, what, you don't like the other one? So whatever he would have planted, perhaps Chazal would have found something. It's without being disrespectful, what was wrong with planting wine? The answer is, says Rav Simcha Wasserman, the wine puts you back. When a person drinks wine, it makes them think of the past more than the present and the future. If it were bread, you're planting for the future. So therefore, when he came out of the teva, he should have been planted for the future. What do you want to remember? What do you want to remember the pre-Mabel days? What's it to remember? I heard a similar idea from Rav Isaac Bernstein, Zichron Nevrocha, famous Rav in London, and he said he applied this to Holocaust studies. It was a very interesting. He said, of course, we have to remember Zohar, everything that Amalek did to you from then till now. Of course you have to remember it. But to have Holocaust studies and on, just focus entirely to make a whole syllabus and a whole education and on, and not to put it into a perspective, yeah, of course it's part of Chadesh Yomeinu Kekedem. We work... Whoops. Of course, we remember the past, but we don't get stuck there. It's part of our future. It's always a balance. It's always a perspective to remember the past, but not to get stuck in there, and always to keep looking forward. And I was thinking the same about Mrs. Lloyd, Aishas Lloyd. Yeah, Nebuch. Well, I don't know if I say Nebuch, she wasn't exactly a tremendous Machnis Oirach, and there's reasons why she suffered the fate that she did. But I think plainly, she was running away from Sodom, and she looked back. What are you looking back for? Your future is in front of you. You get stuck in the past, you look back, you get stuck in there. So we have to be always young, always look forward, always plan for the future. Yeah, I understand that.
Not to concentrate too much on the future.
Exactly. I mean, it's a balance. You never forget the past. You know, on every Yom Tov you have Yizka. Of course we remember the past, but it's part of our future. It's a matter of keeping things in perspective. We don't forget. What can we do about this? Can you hear me? Okay. The pasuk says in Mishle, Chanoich lenaar al pi darkoi, gam ki yaskin lo yosu mimeno. Chanoich lenaar, educate, initiate a young person according to his way, gam ki yaskin lo yosu mimeno. Now there's many sephorim have been written on this particular pasuk, but I once heard the following idea. Chanoich lenaar al pi darkoi, educate a young person according to his way, gam ki yaskin, so when he becomes older, lo yosom imeno, he won't move away from chanoich. He won't move away from wanting to be educated. In other words, he'll always consider himself to be a chanoich who needs, a na'ar who needs chinuch. That however old we are, we feel we're a work in progress, and we're always seeking to improve, as Rashi says in that Gemara, Shesholin Kol Shor, that we're asking the whole time, we're always inquisitive, we have a young mind, why and what and when and how, always questioning. When I discussed this presentation with my brother, Zalazangazon Rabbi Avram Katz of Gateshead, so he told me an idea which he heard in a sefer written by Rav Dov Sternbuch, so Lazayin Gesund, and it's based on the pasuk in Vayetse. The pasuk says, "Vatikra es Shemoy Yosef." When Rachel gave birth to Yosef, Leimoir, Yosef Hashem li ben acher. May Hashem add to me another son. And by the way, there is an idea. It's a grammatical thing that leimor means something which we should constantly be saying. To say leimor means not only her but us too. Leimor, this should be part. It should go on. Yosef Hashem li ben acher, that may Hashem add to me, I should always continue to add and to grow. Vayika sheyoldo Rochel is Yosef, vayomer Yaakov el Lavan shalcheini, let me go home. So Rashi says when Yosef was born, Yaakov Avinu felt he was now okay to go back to meet Yosef. Says Rashi, Mishnoilat Sitnoi Shel Esav, when the adversary, thank you, of Esav had been born, Shenema Vahoyo Beis Yaakov Eish, Beis Yosef Lahava Beis Esav Lakash. And therefore, now that Yosef has been born, I now have the antidote to Esav, I can now come and meet Esav. So Rav Sternbuch says, what's the nakuda of Yosef that can overcome Esav? So Chazal say Esav is related to the word of Asui, made, finished, complete. When Esav was born, he looked like a much older person. And this reflected his personality. Also, I'm made, I've reached where I feel I have to reach, and there's nothing further, nowhere to go further from here. This was it was an attitude of mind. He could have overcome it, like we all can. Mashein kein Yosef li ben acher, that we want to do more, always inquisitive, always on the go. So therefore, this is the antidote to Esav, the Yosef always wanting more, that to achieve more, to be better, to want to increase and improve in our avodas Hashem. This is the antidote to Esav. And it's interesting, my brother said also, but it's not exactly pshat, but it fits in nicely, that when the Sedra ends, Vayelech Vayoshov Lavan Lemekoimoi, Lavan went back to his Mokum, Vayakov Holach Ledarkoi, but Yaakov went on his journey. So it doesn't fit everywhere else around, but in here it's a nice idea. The Lavan, you've had Yaakov living with you for 22 years. You've had the Godel Hador living with you. And in the Eibishter appears to you and says, be nice to Yaakov. And nevertheless, Lavan still says, Lama gonavta elahoi. Why did you pinch my getchkelech? You know, he was stuck in his mokum. He was stuck in a groove. Whereas Yaakov Avinu was on a derech. He was on a journey. And that's how we emulate that. And it's interesting. If you would introduce a rov, and if you want to compliment somebody, you call them a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham is the nicest compliment you can ever give somebody. What does Talmud Chacham mean? They're a wise student, because the truth is we're always young, we're all Talmidim. There's always more to learn, we've never reached any, there's always, as Torah, I once heard from Rabbi Marmerstein in London, Torah Hashem Tamima, the Torah is Tomim. However much Torah you learn, it's always Tomim. You've never touched the Torah. It's always complete. There's always more. One has never accomplished the whole Torah, because the Torah is endless. It's just like the Eibishter is, so is the Torah. There's always more and more. But Talmud Chacham, we're all Talmidic, we're wise students. And hopefully we become Talmud Chacham in both senses of the word. If I would introduce a professor from a university, and I would say, this professor is a wise student of whichever subject, this man is a wise student, you've just offended him. What do you mean? I'm a professor, I'm a master of my subject, how can you call me a student? And I think it's indicative, when we go to yeshiva, we go to learn. When a person goes to university, they go to study, because studying means, you know, to draw your own conclusions and make your own thesis, etc. In yeshiva, we're learning. We're more humble. We're talmidim. We've got what to learn. And Rav Sternbuch quotes the pasuk in Hosea, and the pasuk says, "Ki na Yisrael, Klal Yisrael are young." This is in Yud Aleph. Ve'oi ha'vehu, and I love him, I love Klal Yisrael, says the Pasuk, Ki Na Yisrael, because they're young. And because we're young, we're open-minded, we always feel we've got what to learn. And the Pasuk says elsewhere, Zochati Lo Chesed Noraich. I remember the righteousness of your young years. That's what Klal Yisrael are, always young, always fresh. I found a beautiful medrash which mamash fits into this so nicely. In the coming Sedra, where Yaakov Avinu blesses his Ephraim and Manasseh, he says, V'yidgu l'roiv bekerev ha'oretz. You should be like V'yidgu l'roiv. V'yidgu l'roiv means that you should be compared to fish. Yes, from the word dog. The V'yidgu l'roiv, you should increase, you should resemble fish. And the Medrash Rabbah on this pasuk brings many peshotim, but they bring, I notice this one. Ma dogim halalu. Look at these fish. G'delim b'mayim, they live in water. Kiven sheyered es tipa achas milamala. If one raindrop falls from the sky, mekablin oisa b'tzim ma'oin. The fish come to the surface and open their mouth to catch that drop of rain. Kemishaloi toamu tamayim mehen, as if they've never tasted the living water, surrounded by water. They breathe water, but there's an opportunity to get a fresh drop of water. They're there. Kach hein Yisrael, gedelin b'mayim b'toira. We live in the waters of Torah. Kiven shehein shoymin dova chodosh. When they come to hear something new min haTorah, hey mekablin osoy betzima ayin kemishlo shamu devar Torah mimehen. When we come to hear devar Torah, it's as if we've never heard the devar Torah before, and because we're always eager, we're always thirsty, we always want to learn more. My brother told me when he many years ago he was part of those rabbonim that went to Russia to give shiurim in the days where it was very, very difficult in the perestroika. In the pre, where it was, it's not exactly a holiday camp now either, Russia. But in those days, it was very dangerous to go, and the shiurim were given in clandestine. In secret, and it was very, it was. You had to be very careful of the KGB, etc. And so, what my brother used to get, he went there. I think once, certainly on one. I don't know if he went once or twice. And the one person who came to his shurim always came as he was dressed for a chasana. His chasana clothing. So my brother said to him, "Have you going to a chasana? You come from a chasana?" He said, "What do you mean? This is a chasana. When I can have an opportunity to learn Torah, I dress up in my big day Shabbos, the covered Torah. I don't take it for granted." I'm not saying that we should all now go home and change, but certainly the whole idea, the chashivas, this is the dogim, that we're surrounded by water, we have a thirst for Torah. And David HaMelech, Sos Anoich Alim Rosecha, I rejoice over your mitzvahs, K'moitze Sholol Rav, like someone who's found a treasure. And finding a treasure is something unexpected. You're digging around, and all of a sudden, you come across something you never expected. And that was David HaMelech's attitude, not only to a particular mitzvah, but to the whole Torah. Every Devar Torah was Sholol Rav, was an amazing treasure, the excitement, the thrill. And I remember once, feeling this when the National Lottery first came out, I bought a scratch card and I won £10. I was so happy, I was such a thrill. And the logo at the time was a hand pointing from heaven, it could be you, made of stars, it could be you. And I was thinking, it is us, we K'moitze Sholorov. By the way, just a little tip. Just by the way, someone's worked out a way you can guarantee, say, win £50 a year on the scratch card. Don't buy it. Let you work that one out. So to bring this to a conclusion, the the first Rashi on the Torah says as follows. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Loi Hoyat Sorich Lahaskeles HaTorah, really the Torah could have begun Me'achodesh azeh lochem, from the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, shehu mitzvah, shehi mitzvah rishoyna shenistava bo Yisrael. If not for the fact, so why do we begin with Bereishis? Because you may not believe it, but there are goyim out there who say that Eretz Yisrael doesn't belong to you, Yerushalayim is not your city. What have Yidden got to do with Yerushalayim? Since when have Yidden been there? What's it got to do with? You may not believe that, but so in order to answer that particular question, therefore the Torah begins with Bereishis to show that Abishan is given which land to which country. But if not for that, the Torah could have begun with Achodish Hazel Lochem. So why is that the first mitzvah? Why is that an important mitzvah to begin our what? Ischachos. So the answer is Achodish Hazel Lochem, and Rav Hirsch says from the Medrash that look at the new moon, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, HaChidush HaZeh, this renewal of the moon, HaChidush HaZeh Lochem, is you. When you look at the moon, as Rabbi Avigdor Miller says, the moon is Jewish. When you look at the moon, it's telling you a story, that even though it gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and a person feels he's going further and further away from, so to speak, from the Ribbono Shel Olam, you can always make a comeback, you can always grow again. HaChidush HaZeh Lochem, this is a rebirth, a renewal, a re-emergence, it's you, you can grow again. And this is Brias Olam, you're creating a world of yourself. This is Bereishis in the personal sense. And it's no coincidence, it's my own idea, but I think it's reasonable, that ato is now and ato is you. Why are those two words phonetically the same? Because that's what we are. We are now. The Abishah says, what are you going to do now? Not what were you, what do you intend? Now, every moment of our lives is a new opportunity to recreate ourselves and put the past behind us and begin afresh. And it's no coincidence that the word rejuvenate, which means to become fresh, the root of rejuvenate is Jew, because we have the opportunity to become fresh, to be invigorated. It's not rejuvenated, and it's rejuvenated because we Yidden have this amazing ability to become fresh and start again. There's much more to be said. We're going to finish. And the my bracha is we should be vidgulara bekerev aretz. We should be like the fish, always coming to taste fresh Torah, fresh ideas. Chanot lenar pidarkoi. We should always feel that we are a work in progress, and we should rejuvenate ourselves. And in the zechus of a chanot lenar pidarkoi, we should be zoiche to another Chanukah, which is Chanukah Sabayis, which is shortly to be with us, and which take zoiche in the merit, in the zechus of renewing ourselves and always being fresh and invigorated. We should be zoiche to see the Chanukah Sabayis, the menorah being lit, and the Bayis Shlishi b'mehera amen.
Okay. Okay, have you got your